Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming out. Welcome. My name is Dubs Weinblatt. My pronouns are they, them, theirs. And I am so excited to be here with you for season 8 of the Thank You for Coming Out podcast. So a few months ago, I posted on Threads wondering if anyone would be interested in coming on the podcast as a guest. I could not believe the response I got. Hundreds of people reached out saying they wanted to tell their story on the podcast. Well, I can't interview hundreds of people for season 8, but what I can do is ask people to fill out a form and then fill out a Calendly and then schedule those conversations. And so without further ado, here is an episode recorded with one of my new friends on Threads. I hope you enjoy.
Mike Zacho, he, him, is a 39-year-old aspiring comedian, writer, and artist from New Brunswick, New Jersey. His coming out story has been recently added to the Human Rights Campaign's website feature on LGBTQ plus joy and resilience. Mike's upcoming debut stand-up comedy song album, Queer Academia, due out in May, tackles gay issues and breaks down stereotypes with a witty, sarcastic attitude. He is currently in the process of relocating to Seattle, Washington to bring his act to the Pacific Northwest and beyond. Mike, welcome.
Hey, Dubs, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. So, so you're moving to Seattle. That's exciting. Have you been there before?
Yeah, I was. I could give you a quick story. I was duped out of a room, believe it or not.
Oh.
And I had to come back to New Jersey and I was super upset. So upset. But I came there for Pride Month. So how of all times. So I had a great, even though that totally sucked, the Pride night that I was to with a couple friends was amazing. They go all out for Pride, and I was super proud I was there.
Oh, that sounds, well, that part sounds nice. Getting duped out of a room, less nice.
Exactly.
So why Seattle?
Of all places, yes, that good question. I got involved with the comedy scene over there and the arts, and I had to say there's a comic that is located out there. I'm not sure. I don't want to send a name out, but he's very influential and he was very big inspiration for me. And then I connected with some of the people, like indirectly through him, and then I started making friendships out there, and one thing leads to another, and what do you know, it's I'm like, you know, headed there to see them. I grew a friendship out of that with a lot of the queer comedians out there and even other straight comedians. So
that's amazing. I love that. That's so cool. So we all have multiple coming out stories and multiple coming into ourselves stories. And so I would love for you to share one of those stories with us here today.
Oh, sure. No problem. In 2020, I came out. Bad time for coming out. Pandemic's going on. I don't know what the hell I was thinking, but I did. I did do it. And I was 33 when I came out. So very late in life. I don't like, I said, I don't know how I remained closeted for so long. I have no idea, but I could win an Academy Award for playing the role of a straight man for 33 years because I fooled so many people. But in all reality, it was a big weight that was lifted off my shoulders when I came out. It was like this huge anchor was just dropped, and that was it. And I felt so refreshed, and I thought I would have zero support. I think that's another reason why. And I got so much support after I came out, like still to this day, that's overwhelmingly positive. So it really shaped me, you know, and shaped my whole identity because I couldn't live a lie anymore. I was sick and tired of doing that. That was just, and I was totally miserable. I'll be straight up honest. I was totally miserable for a long time when I was closeted. I'd feel irritable, I feel super depressed, all this kind of these negative thoughts and just not good stuff, not good stuff. And then once I did that, totally started feeling better. I did go for therapy for to heal any kind of inner childhood trauma, all that kind of stuff, but it's working out, and I'm glad I took the time to do this.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for sharing that.
Oh, you're welcome.
It's I a long I think it was over 10 years ago, when I was just like understanding my transness, I wrote a blog post. I think I chose the Oscars, but like in the same kind of like I could have won awards for this. Like, just like so I totally relate to that moment. But I'm curious, like, what was it that kind of pushed you out of the closet? Like, was there a moment? Was there, like, what was it that you were like, okay, now's the time?
Okay, I don't really think there was a moment. It just felt like an epiphany, something that I just had to do in order to be happy and to be true to who I am and be authentic to who I am. I don't think there was any one incident. And I remember I told my mom, and she just accepted me. There was like no banishing, there was no anything like that. There was just complete and immediate acceptance from her.
That's so lucky. That's really nice. Was so you said 2020. So was
Yes,
it
2020.
pre-pandemic or during pandemic?
During the pandemic. Yeah, that's why I said not the greatest time to,
Right, right, right. So yeah, I mean, I think so it sounds like for you it was just like this epiphany moment, which happens to a lot of people, but I think particularly during the pandemic, a lot of people were forced into this solitude, this silence with oneself that kind of unearthed feelings. And do you think that that had a role at all in that for you?
Oh yeah, definitely. And it's good that you mentioned that, because that's when I first started doing comedy, because I've been doing it in on and off for 6 years now. So I haven't been to a lot of gigs, unfortunately, because I'm going to share this with everybody, and let it be as it is. I was diagnosed 1 year prior with epilepsy. So I couldn't drive anymore, couldn't, it was just really a big downward spiral from there. And I was really getting depressed more than just like being in the closet. All this independence was being taken away from me. So, it's just something that really cheered me up when I first started doing an open mic via Zoom at the time. I thought I was like, oh my God, I'm gonna bomb, but it turned out I didn't end up bombing. And it was, amazing, because I didn't have a mentor, I didn't have any coaching. It was just like me listening to stand-up comedians that I've always loved and adored, and just putting together a set, trying to get a tight five, and but I loved it, and I can't ever see myself not doing comedy in any way, shape, or form.
That's amazing. So tell us about this new album you have coming out.
Oh yes. Okay. Oh yes, Queer Academia. This is a thing I've been bouncing back and forth in my mind for a long time. And Queer Academia is just like a big, like sarcastic and funny, raunchy thing from one gay man to many others. And I can't speak on anybody else's behalf, because I am not any other parts of the community, but I can speak from a gay male perspective. And this is kind of like the secret sauce to my stand-up. Is it's like the regular traditional stand-up, and then I break into like a song, like a 1 minute song is my thing, and then I go back to my regular stand-up, and then so on and so forth. And I know people are like, I've had people say to me, like, oh no, don't do that. You're making more work for yourself, and you got, haters, and you have people like, oh, you're never going to be able to pull that off. But I'm just like, yeah, I don't think so. I really think I can pull it off. And I think that's a big part of stand-up comedy too, is really developing a thick skin and just being really confident and just believing in your skills and, learning from your mistakes and, growing a community, just like in the queer community. I made a name for myself and I'm getting to know a lot of people there. And, also, a big part of helping me in the coming out process has been the organization PFLAG, as I'm a member of the Seattle chapter. And they have been 100% amazing. I cannot thank them enough. They are like incredible. Everyone I met there, so cool, so supportive. I attend meetings like clockwork. I can attend them every month virtually. And yeah.
That's amazing. Wait, so how, and pardon my ignorance, I feel like I should know this and I don't.
That's okay.
PFLAG, like I know it originated as like parents and friends of lesbian gay people, but it sounds like it's evolved into also being a place for queer people themselves.
Oh, yes. They even have like a special night every month for trans people and their parents, to take form on. And I am a very, very staunch advocate for tr the trans youth and trans people, because I know how it felt like to be discriminated against severely growing up in the 90s. And that just was terrible. And what's going on in the world now is absolutely horrific and horrifying. And I think we, as a community, have to look out for each other, stand up for one another, get rid of all these anti-LGBTQ plus laws going into office, just like a fly swatter, just swatting, all these bills down. You just gotta keep doing that and fighting the good fight,
Yeah, for sure. And I wish so deeply that more of the LGBTQIA plus community thought like you. Because I think there is, and I've seen it, this kind of attitude from a lot of cis queer people of like, we already kind of like got our rights and quote unquote. And so like, there's also that like proximity to power. So it's like, well, if I like, lean more towards, cis straight, white culture, and away from trans people, then, I'll be, more protected and more accepted, when truly it's just not the case. And so I wish more people
That.
had your, thought process around,
Oh yeah.
being in
And not
community with each
and
other.
yes, exactly. And not only that, I also, the people will say, oh, how in the world did you experience it? But I experienced racism, and I've noticed racism in the queer community too. And I'm like, we're queer people of color, and that's like total bullshit. I'm like, and I see like even pictures on Instagram and gay men, they don't even seem to acknowledge queer men of color. And it's like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, there's just so much hatred and so much everything. But I'm glad that you're, focusing on making people laugh and comedy and, like comedy and art bring people together, which is just so important. So important. So I also see that you shared your story on the Human Rights Campaign's Join Resilience series. Tell us more about like what is this series and how did you get connected with them?
Oh, okay, sure. I got connected through HRC because I donate money every month to HRC so we can stay, we can fight all these bills, we can support one another, get the resources we need to survive as a community, just like we always have done since the beginning of time. I personally did this when they had LGBTQ plus 1 million voices for equality, and they had where you could submit your story. I did so, and I didn't hear back for a while. I'm like, oh, maybe my story wasn't good enough, or maybe, I had all this imposter syndrome going on. But then I got an email, not like about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, and they had said they were moved by my story, and they thought it to, could resonate with people in changing policy and all that jazz. And I was like, hell yeah, I'll definitely do that. Yeah, that's so cool. And I was telling friends and certain family members and like, oh my God, really? I'm like, yeah, you can read the email. I'll send it to you. I'll forward it to you. So, and that was like really cool to see that.
Yeah, that's amazing. I actually, it's so I want to reach out to HRC because during in the pandemic, I was working at the time at an organization called Keshet.
Oh, I heard
Do
of
you know
them.
Keshet? Yeah. So,
I heard of them.
for the folks listening who don't know about Keshet, it's a nonprofit that works with Jewish organizations on LGBTQ inclusion and belonging. And so, I actually launched with my colleagues a podcast called Join Resilience about, and we interviewed queer Jews about, what it is to find joy in a tough time, and also where do we find our resilience? So it's great that they, I didn't invent joy and resilience, but it's I just like that there are platforms where people can tell their stories and inspire each other. It's really special.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I feel the same way in regards to that.
Yeah. So where have you performed in New York? Or is it only New Jersey that you've performed in?
Okay, so far I've only done remote performing. I was going to go on the stage in South Amboy at a place for LGBTQ comics and drag queens. Unfortunately, I didn't attend two times. One is sad because I got sick the day of, which I like, darn it. And the second time, I had my ride flake out on me the last minute. So I'm like, oh, two times. And it's like, oh, God. But the organizer was great. She was amazing, and she totally understood. And her and I are friends on socials, and so we still keep in touch. So that was really sweet of her. She didn't, because it was just like the last minute, and nobody can predict those kind of things.
Well, it's the more grace we can give each other, the better.
Exactly. Yes. And she is part of the community too, so.
Do you think so you haven't performed outside of like a virtual space yet. So what are you most looking
Right.
forward to being in a room doing your
Oh,
stuff?
I am looking forward to expressing myself like on the stage because I've performed on stage a lot growing up. I was a theater gay, so I would do all the plays. I would do like to be in the outfits, do all that kind of stuff. So that's where some of it comes from, the singing aspect of my comedy, because that's just who I was growing up. I went on the stage, I did plays, and I actually sang on stage too, and I did all that kind of jazz. So that's where that comes from. So I'm definitely looking forward to people seeing that part of me on stage too, as well as the traditional stand up. Like, and I just loved playing live. So
Yeah, that's exciting.
I really miss that.
Do you have any musical accompaniment when you sing, or is it a cappella?
It's just a cappella. Yeah, because I want to keep it like in true like comedy fashion. You know, some comedians do instrumental, but me, I'm just trying to be a little more original and not have that, maybe do something a little different.
Nice. Yeah, I used to do for a long time musical improv. So it was like, comedy with music accompaniment. So it definitely takes a lot of guts to get up in front of people and sing and not know how it's going to land. So that's amazing. So when is your album coming out and how can people find it?
Okay, it will be coming out sometime in May. I'm not 100% sure because I'm releasing it myself. And people will be able to find Queer Academia on all platforms, whether it's YouTube, Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music. So it's going to be all the big places.
Amazing. We'll definitely have to have folks keep an eye out for it. So, I have one final question for you. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Bagels or donuts?
Oh, I'm a Jersey gay, so I'm gonna have to go with bagels. The tri-state area, we know our bagels.
Yeah. What's your go-to order?
Oof. My go-to order, I like to keep it simple. Just like an everything bagel, just like with a little bit of butter, and that's it. I just keep it really simple.
That's very simple.
Yes.
But when the bagel's good, what more do you need?
You don't need anything else.
Yeah. That's amazing. Well, Mike, thank you so much for joining me and for sharing. And so much luck going out to Seattle.
Thank you so much. I was so good to be here and to connect with you. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for coming.